Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This reminds me when I used to do overnights at the University of Connecticut. Hey, everyone. It's 4 a.m. I thought you were going to get dressed up for this today.
You know what, Mark? Save it for the podcast.
Sure. All right, well, here we are, podcast number 3 in the books. Yeah, let's do it. Oh, no, don't say what number it is.
No.
It's not number 3. This is some random podcast. Welcome to the Mark and Heidi Show. We're the other D'Amelios. I'm Mark.
I'm Heidi. We're happy to be here.
We really are. Feel like we're really getting into our groove now.
Yeah, I'm going to start off by... I've mentioned before in previous recordings of podcasts that I was dressed up and you were wearing sweatpants, and you are wearing sweatpants again today, but so am I. I decided, due to my lack of time, I am wearing cargo, joggers, sneakers, and a sweatshirt, and this feels good. So we could still be on a date and not be dressed up. You know, I don't want to make it seem like you have to be dressed up to be on a date, because this is nice too.
Right. Well, since what happened on Valentine's night.
Yeah, let's talk about what happened on Valentine's night. I would love nothing more.
So we were set to go to dinner. Nice restaurant in LA. Restaurants are open. And
what time was the reservation?
The reservation was for 8 o'clock.
And who made that reservation?
I made that reservation.
And why did you make that reservation?
Thought 8 o'clock would be a fine time.
I said, hey, can you make a reservation for dinner?
And I made it.
And you made it within minutes.
Minutes.
Moving right along. Let's go. What happened next?
The owner of the restaurant and said, hey, Mark, I need a reservation. And he said, you've come to the right place, but I've had some dental work done.
Because you're working on your Hollywood smile.
As Charlie would say, ching.
Ching.
And I took a napsy.
Took a nap. There was the beginning of the problem.
And I think I started the nap at around 5. So, mm-hmm. And also, I forgot the reservation was at 8. I said it was at 8:30. So I lost a half hour in the process. And then next thing you know, I woke up at 8:40. And who
was completely ready?
So Heidi was taking pictures.
Selfies
in the dance room with the dogs in a beautiful Valentine's Day red dress that she looked absolutely beautiful. And I woke up in a panic. Like, dude.
And you're like, dude, why didn't you wake me up?
Like, and you're like, oh, your teeth. And all that. So we missed the reservation. So now I have to call Market Catch. Dude, I'm really not this flaky, but I overslept. Like, who says that as an adult, that you overslept for
a dinner reservation? On a Saturday night.
And this guy's probably like, it's Valentine's Day. I gave you a reservation on my busiest night of the year. And so I apologized profusely. And I was like, so sorry.
To him.
Yes. And he was like, don't worry about it. We canceled it. We're full. All good. So hopefully he'll let us back there. But then I started to look at you and like, are we still going? And then you're like, it's fine. Don't worry. You're not
classic,
feeling well.
Classic
Heidi. It's fine.
It's fine.
So we scrambled.
I didn't do anything.
I scrambled. I got us reservation in Beverly Hills at a restaurant that we've gone to with the kids. We've gone to by ourselves, and we were able to salvage the evening, I think.
It was like a 10 o'clock reservation for the last table seated.
It was almost
it was a private event.
It was almost the next day. So
thank you for making the efforts. But I will say, in that time where you were scrambling, you were like, dude, you were kind of putting it on me. Like, why would you let me sleep?
You obviously. Well, why would I want to take the responsibility exactly. or the blame for missing Valentine's Day? Like, that's. I think any other husband who drops the ball on Valentine's Day needs to deflect and needs to find someone to blame.
Yeah. The only piece of this I will say in your defense is almost our entire lives of knowing each other, you've always had a trade show at that during that time, and it was always over a Valentine's Day, and we spent like one and a half, because you got in like right before midnight 1 year, but we've never been together for Valentine's Day physically because you were always working.
Yeah.
So you would order flowers.
I think I'd ask Siri to wake me up and she dropped the ball.
Right. She's on my side. You did get me a beautiful, gigantic bouquet of flowers that were probably 6 feet tall.
And you got me a couple of really cool things, but one is a gross of Twizzlers, which is going to affect my blood sugar levels and all kinds of stuff.
So there was an ordering mishap. I thought I ordered 6 packs. I ordered 6 packs of 10.
I'm no mathematician, but that sounds like 60 packs, and that's that's a lot. So Saturday, before my Sleeping Beauty incident, we went out. And so we've learned, I'm going to say something that is going to contradict itself, but we've learned that experiences are much more important than possessions. And so as we're going through this crazy time, I always try to stop and smell the roses and have great experiences. So with that, I'm going to say we went out and got a couple of possessions over the weekend, but they're possessions that are going to help create cool experiences. So we went to a vintage arcade store, I guess, like where they have all vintage pinball machines and arcade games. And we have one of the things when I was growing up, I used to live in arcades and I loved all the classic video games from Centipede, Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Dig Dug. And I got probably 5 years ago, I got us a video game console with all the video games in it. And now we went and bought the coolest pinball machine, which hopefully will get delivered soon, but it's Elton John's Mr. Fantastic vintage machine, and it's really cool. So I can't wait for that.
Mr. Gene at Vintage Arcade Superstore is like a mad scientist in there, and he refurbishes them. It was interesting to see, you know, they went back. They had some old ones that didn't even have like music, and it was really, really cool. And he was so nice. So
although that's a possession, it's a possession that is going to create really good experiences. So that's where I could totally see us. Cause I don't know that Dixie and Charlie, I know they know what pinball is, but I don't think they've experienced pinball machines mm-hmm. the way we did growing up. Right?
I love pinball machines. I have more fun with that than like a regular arcade game because I'm not really good at them. But pinball, I can hold my own.
And then where else did we go?
And then Mark, who is having a midlife crisis, maybe. He says no, but don't most people who are going through a midlife crisis say no? We went to the Harley Davidson dealership and looked at a motorcycle.
So my good friend, Rick O'Neill, who has been, who guided us through BMX, is in the hospital and he's not doing very well. And Rick was a big biker and had me thinking about him all weekend. So I went to the Harley dealership. And although he'll probably make fun of me because I bought the Harley Davidson electric motorcycle, which is really cool. It doesn't have that engine and that vroom, vroom, that. So it's kind of, it's perfect for me because I'm a Tesla guy. I'm an environmentalist through and through. And it's electric Harley Davidson, and I'm excited to pick it up.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a midlife crisis. I mean, we've talked about getting a motorcycle before, so it's not that like out of left field, but everything happening with Rick, it all makes sense, and we'll enjoy it and think of him and hope he gets better really, really soon.
So he can make fun of me.
So he can make fun
electric,
of you, as he
my
should.
My electric Harley Davidson. So wait, that gets back. I wrote this note down. So experiences over possession. So when now that I am 52 years old and I think back of all the dumb things I bought and wasted money on, every time I spent money on something that created a cool experience for us and our family, those memories stick out way more than the time I bought that new thing that I didn't need, or like I just did, bought something that helps create new experiences, like hopefully riding on the motorcycle or us playing the pinball machine together as a family. But what are some experiences throughout our life together that stick in your head as something that was like amazing?
Ooh, put me on the spot here. I feel like there's so many experiences. Going to the pumpkin patch. I didn't grow up with going to pumpkin patches because, I don't know, I lived in the South. I don't know if they had them. Doesn't get cold enough there? I don't know. That was like an experience that we did every year with the kids. And even like when my mom and dad came to visit us in Connecticut, or we've gone with your family, that was just like so great. That was
What about cutting down a Christmas tree? We didn't do that all the time. I think we've only done it once or twice, but that was fun.
Yeah.
I have a good one for you. When we first met, the first year we were together, we went whitewater rafting.
Oh my gosh. We literally did it in 1998. I think we got to book that.
But that's what I mean. Like the experience, like from 1998, how many of those days just kind of go one into another? But that day in particular, I remember the tent. I remember
Do you remember we jumped off the 40-foot cliff?
Yes,
into the water. That was so scary and fun. And you're not really an outdoorsy type, so.
Nor do I like heights.
But you liked it.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Oh, going to Rockefeller Center during Christmas time and seeing all the windows, and that was awesome. A lot of the experiences are like New York City experiences, going into your showroom, going to concerts, like so many concerts in Madison Square Garden. And then we'd always go back to your office showroom in New York, like down the road, and kind of regroup and like, okay, where are we going to dinner or whatever? That was fun. Oh, so many. Our trips to Louisiana, those were always fun.
I think out of all the times that we went to Louisiana, the ones that I remember most were the ones that were the least expensive when we actually drove. When I just got my Tesla, I was like, come on, there's these charging stations all around. We can do it. And that was a really.
Yeah, you and I have great memories from that road trip. And if we ask the kids, like both Dixie and Charlie equally, will say that was their worst trip of their life. Charlie had stinky shoes. That was a problem.
Yeah, that was like the major fight. And she
kept putting her feet by everybody. And we threw all her shoes out and got her new shoes.
But I remember driving down, and then remember we stopped at all the different, we did stopped at North Carolina.
We ride bikes while the car was charging.
We were in Birmingham, Alabama.
Although the Tesla was a possession, that trip, the kids, they really have to really dig deep, but we rented bikes and rode bikes while the car was charging. Remember we saw that pig? It was such a cute little baby.
And then
baby
we stayed
pig.
At that hotel in Birmingham, Alabama, and then that was for business. I went down there many times, stayed at that same hotel because of the experience we had on that trip. And then we stopped back
Actually, the kids will say on the way back was a lot more fun. We spent a couple nights in New Orleans. So fun. We went, where did we, oh, we went to see the Auerbachs.
Yeah, in, my college roommate and his wife.
In North Carolina, right? So we spent New Year's Eve there. We were in Georgia and we spent a couple nights there. That was really fun. Do you remember?
Yeah, of course.
I'll tell them it was a great trip. They just don't remember it properly. It was fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, experiences over possessions. But I will say, I think when you grow up like we did in, you know, not having a lot of money, and then you start earning money, you know, you want to, like, get things, and it's exciting and fun, and you're in your 20s and all of that. And then you quickly realize that it's more to it than that. And you're right. The experiences are always, and they don't have to be expensive. You could just be DIY stuff and just like hikes and fishing and whatever. And those are really good experiences.
Yeah. So I say a lot of things that may be considered, I don't want to say inspirational, but I think I say things that hopefully the kids listen to. I say you should pack your own parachute, which basically means don't leave important details to other people. Take care of your business. When it's life or death or important, you should take care of your own business. I say a million things like that. So
wait, what about run your own offense?
Yeah. I mean, do you want someone else calling your plays, or do you want to call your own plays? Like, that's, yep. You know, do you want someone to coach you, or do you want to run your own offense? So, you know, we want to, I think everyone knows we probably have a younger audience, and hopefully with this podcast, we will get some parents to listen in. But I reached out on Twitter and I said, what is something inspirational your parents told you that guides you today? Like, so what are those things? Are you listening to your parents? And I just thought it was really cool. And Ryan Vargas, who's a NASCAR racer, wrote, the first day I tested a race car, I was absolute garbage, not good. My dad told me I can race or keep playing regular sports. However, if I race, we're going all in and are not going to stop until we made it. Not close to making it, but sure as hell am trying to, with a strong arm symbol. And then he posted some pictures. So I think, you know, that's one of the things we've instilled in the kids. And I remember when I worked at a carpet store, I wanted to be the best carpet cutter there. When I worked in a produce, when I was a caddy, I always wanted to be the Michael Jordan of anything that I did. And I think that's what we've tried to instill in the girls, is it doesn't matter what you do. I would never look down upon anybody that's doing something that they're passionate about or that they need to do. And I always try to treat everyone equally. I treat the person, the when I walk into an office building, I treat the receptionist the same way as I treat the CEO. And that's what I think we've instilled in our kids. And I hope they take that I don't care whether they're doctors or lawyers or actresses. I want them to be happy. And whatever they decide to do, I want them to do their best and be passionate. And that's so cool that Ryan's dad said that to him. And that's kind of what we said about coming to California. Mm-hmm. I said, look, if we're going to put our house up for sale and we're going to move out here, we're not going to half-ass it. We're going to do it and do it right and have fun along the way. And I think you could be really, give it your all, but not be miserable doing
yes.
it. Like, I want us to be, give it your all, but still be happy and have a good time chasing your dreams.
Have fun in it. Yeah, for sure. I remember one time, I think it was before Dixie was in middle school, and she said, like she might have texted me, I want to try curling, if that's what it was. It wasn't. But and then I was on my way to pick her up and she said, wait, before you guys go out and buy a whole curling uniform and everything else, let me think about it. Because she know not to push, but like you, that's how committed we were for them to try anything and everything. And they have tried a lot of different things and, you know, see what sticks. Like not everything that they tried, they loved, but they knew that they had us behind them and we're going to go all in and we're going to wear the t-shirts and we'll get, all right, let's go do it. I do remember her doing that. She was like, wait, before you.
Because she knows dad will get me the latest curling broom stick.
I think so now when they go into something, they go all in.
I think people think that, and that was kind of what we talked about in the last episode, that people think we push our kids to do things. And if anything, my biggest passion was BMX racing. And I think I was seventh in the state of Connecticut in 1983, maybe something like that. And Dixie was one in Connecticut, one in New England, and fifth in the nation. And I was living my dream through her. And I remember when it was time for me to sell my bike and get a car and move on, I did it. And I remember it was hard because I was running the team and we were having so much fun, but I knew if I would have said, nope, Dixie, we're doing another season.
Never.
She would have. And I think we have done a good job supporting them to try new things, but not being overbearing. And I do see that sometimes with parents that my kid's going to be the next Derek Jeter, my kid's going to be the next this, and they pursue it to the extreme that they're, that the kid just isn't into it anymore. And I think that isn't the best way to do it.
Right. But. Wait, I just thought of another one. I remember seeing an interview with Derek Jeter and he was talking about his dad and how he said, my dad never let me win. He was like, you'll win when you're good enough to beat me. And, you know, some people might look at that, well, you know, are you crushing his spirit? Or, you know, you could look at it many different ways, but for their family, that's what worked. And it pushed him. And obviously he was, he turned out to be really, really good. So, but, I think you're kind of like that. You would, you know, whenever we're just like playing games or whatever, they had to earn it.
Yep. No one gets a participation trophy in our house. and that's why I liked BMX racing for Dixie, because it was just, if she wanted, she was on a bike against seven other kids going down a hill. And if she pedaled the fastest and was technically the most sound, chances are she's going to do really well. And I love that about that sport, that the kid that doesn't make the main event has to go home and practice. And I don't think I was too hard on the girls. I just didn't promote it. If they came with something mediocre, I didn't praise it and say, oh, great job. I kept it pretty real. And hopefully that has served a good purpose and does in the future, because I don't want to break their spirit.
Right. But it's so funny because both of them in interviews over this last year, I've heard them say, you know, the best thing my parents did was not sugarcoat things, and they kept it real. And it made me work harder because I wanted to be better. I wanted to do, you know, whatever. So
yeah, I just want to make sure that, and I've done a better job of telling both kids how proud I am of them, because as you're teaching and you're trying to get them to be better human beings, sometimes you forget to praise the little things. And with that, I constantly now will say, look, you could work on this a little bit better, but look at all this, whether it's Dixie's music career or whatever they're doing. I try to critique some of the things that I think need some work, but definitely praise and support all the positive things that are going on in their lives, because I think they get enough people in the comments and the negative stuff that they need someone close to them to say, no, let me tell you, this is the real score. And as a parent, I love you unconditionally, but this is the real score.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they, you know, we listen, it's parenting is hard. Being a kid is hard. And you're just trying to do the best you can on both ends and hope for the best. Honestly, like it's, you know, you could do one thing for your one child today that doesn't work tomorrow. And that's, it's just like a constant trying to do better and like play your role the best you can off of where they are in that moment. And sometimes it's not day to day, it's moment to moment, morning to afternoon. So,
and we see it doesn't work with two kids. Imagine the people that have six kids and you have to, oh, wait, this
each
now,
kid
now it's little Johnny. This is how I have to parent him.
So different, also different, but that's life. Okay, Mark, question for you. What is your biggest pet peeve about me? Don't hold back.
I'm going to turn this into a positive because my
No, be real.
No, I will. I'll tell you real. That my biggest pet peeve is that I like everything to have its place. You can live with disorganization, and that drives me nuts. But with that, I will say that one of the things I don't like about myself is sometimes I can't focus and I take too much time worrying about getting things organized to complete a task, as opposed to just you'll complete the task. I got to get all my ducks in a row and make sure the moon's aligned and everything, which it works for my brain. So yeah, sometimes like, if you go into my closet, it looks like a museum, and you go into your closet and it looks like not a museum. And, but with that, we both got dressed today and you were able to find your clothes. I was able to find my clothes. So what's the big, it doesn't matter. It's just the way my brain is wired and it's not something that drives me crazy. I'll tell you the other thing that is my pet peeve about you. And again, this is another one.
I asked for one.
Now let's get a few more. I got a list. The other one is, I think, although it's kind of weird, you care about yourself, you take good care of yourself, you're interested in working out, but I don't think we as parents spend time. We ask our kids all the time, what are your dreams? What's your goal? What makes you happy? And I don't think you do a good job conveying what those things, what you're passionate about, that, and putting yourself first. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And sure. We say that to the girls all the time. We're like, look, it doesn't, do you want to sing? Do you want to dance? Do you want to act? Do you want to be an astronomer? Like, what is it? Like, let's, and that's kind of gets back to what we're talking about. Like, we give them the opportunity to follow their dreams, but I think sometimes we don't. And that's why, like, I'm doing all these, like, I'm building a new bicycle. I bought a motorcycle. I got a pinball machine. I'm finding all these things that I love and trying them out, because when I was younger, I probably didn't have the ability to take advantage of the things that I was passionate about. And I have the opportunity now to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So for the first one, all my things that are not organized, it drives me crazy, and I'm going to get to it, but it doesn't drive me too crazy that I'm going to sacrifice doing something else to do that in front of, period. Mm-hmm. Then the next one, you're right. And I think I get into this mom mode of, I just want to make sure the kids are good, and then I'm going to do stuff that I want to do. But what I'm realizing now that the girls have communicated this to me, both of them, they want to see me doing my own thing. They love that I'm doing a photo shoot. They love that I'm working out every day to prepare myself for that photo shoot. I'm doing more of a service to them as a mom by taking the time to take care of myself. They absolutely love that. And I am not good at it. Let me tell you what I thought you were going to say. That I have, hold on, I have the number, 5,550 unread emails. That's what I thought you were going to say.
That's just exactly what's happening in your closet, but just on your phone. It's the same.
My pet peeve about Mark is, He does not practice what he preaches for himself.
True.
And it drives me, like, when the words are coming out of your mouth about, you know, you got to take more time for yourself. Like, you literally don't take time for yourself.
I'm sitting there saying to Dixie, put your health first. You have to get your act together while I'm downing a 30-ounce prime rib with a liter of Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
not that extreme.
But yeah, you are the worst about taking your own advice. Yeah. And you get so, I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Wait, I talk like that?
Yes, I'm going to have a heart attack because I don't take care of myself. Okay, well, take care of yourself. You're telling all of us to take care of ourselves. So I wish that you would do better at that.
So they're kind of positive peeves.
Yeah.
Pets.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime. I have more. We'll get you next time.
I used to put goals down and I got to get back to that.
Yeah. You're very focused on helping all of us achieve our goals. And we appreciate that, but you have to do it for yourself because you're a little grumpy when you're not working towards your goals.
Oh, now the
truth
comes out.
Yes, the truth comes out.
Cool.
Thank you so much for listening. You can follow me at Heidi D'Amelio on all of my socials.
I already follow you.
Stalker. And you can follow Mark at Mark D'Amelio on all of his socials. Please subscribe and share and look out for questions. We're going to be asking things to talk about on the podcast. So
yeah,
podcast date was successful today.
It was
a comfy, cozy.
I'm comfortable.
Podcast date. Next week, dress up.
Oh, tuxedo.
Yeah. All right. Bye, guys. Thanks
Bye,
so much.
Everyone. Thank
Love you.
You.